we have any visitors this morning to Lake Country Bible Church. Welcome. We'd love to have you here. We'd love to know a little bit more about you. So if you look in the pouch and chair in front of you, you'll see an envelope, and it will be a form and a pen. And if you'd fill that little form out, put that form in the basket to the right-hand side of the door on the way out this morning, let us know a little about yourselves, and we can get in touch and get to know each other a little bit, and we can make sure you know just how welcome you are here at Lake Country Bible Church. Thank you. And my phone needs insistent.
Good morning, Lake Country. Quick announcement, if your cell phones are on, turn the ringer off. Couple of announcements. If you want to join me in your bulletin, please. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. here in the ante room. That is at 9 a.m. Silent prayers, open prayer, however you prefer, however you feel comfortable. If you'd like to join us with that, that'd be amazing. Women's Bible study, Tuesday, 6:30 to 8 approximately. Terry Buckler is leading a study of 2 Samuel still. All women are encouraged and invited to attend. I think we might have overworked my parents. They're not here this morning. We were working in their house last night, and we were up pretty late getting things tidied up. So they're not here this morning, unfortunately. Wednesday night services, prayer, and Bible study. Pardon me. At 6 p.m., women's brunch, May 18th at Brenda Smith's house. She's excited to host that. I hope y'all are excited to be there, and y'all are definitely encouraged and invited. All women, that is. Bring a friend. Sign up is in the foyer. I think Jean is back there beside that at the moment. She won't fight you away from it. She'll probably encourage you to sign up. They'd love to have every one of you. Kindness Cottage food donations, April 21st and 28th. List of requested items are on the table there beside Jean as well. We do have a church work day coming up on the 27th. I think we made that announcement last week. I'm going to go ahead and make that announcement again this morning. We'd love to have everybody involved that can be here. If you have something in mind that you'd like to help out with, or you have special tools that you have, feel free to bring them. It's not exclusive to the list that we provide ahead of time.
Can you clarify the time frame for us?
Okay, so that church work day, we typically kick off sometime around 8 or 9 o'clock and goes till about noon. If you want to stay longer, you're welcome to, but most of us around lunchtime are ready to call it for the day, go get some grub, and maybe take the rest of the day for rest. That's not in the bulletin here, so 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. is when we try to kick off. Those of us who like to be here early and set up some tools, maybe here before that. So if you are an early bird and you want to be here a little bit before 8, that's okay as well. Mike is signing up right now. I don't care what he wants to do. We're going to accept. Mike, we love you. Come and join us. I'll have you up on a ladder cleaning gutters. It'll be okay. But no, we always have a great time, good spirits, good encouraging activity for us to be together and work together here to kind of dress up the grounds and the buildings and the facilities. We always have a good time. Men and women. That's men and women. It's not exclusive to just the men. One more announcement that's also not here on the bulletin. We have a birthday. Happy birthday to you. Thank you for your faithfulness in leading our worship, Brad. And thank you for having a good sense of humor. Joining me in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you for this day, this beautiful day, and wonderful place that we can gather together in good spirits with people who love you and want to know more about your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we have from
being with like-minded people who would encourage us to study your word to be faithful in the work that you have for us. Thank you for the teachers that we have and their faithfulness to your word. Ask, Lord, that you would continue to provide many years of service to those who are in service here and a blessing to everybody in attendance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One other thing I failed to mention earlier before we get started in scripture reading. Terry Posey messaged out this morning and said he was down in his back and not feeling well. That's why he's not here with us this morning. So if y'all would lift him up in prayer, I know he would appreciate that very much. Join me in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Colossians 2, 1 through 8. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to have our brother Brad sing that song. I love that song. Oh, it also was good. Not that it was short notice, but I got a text this morning that Terry was down in his back, and boy, am I going to razz him. He's always talking about being at the gym and able to do this and able to do that. And I'm going to giggle at him when I see him. Jokingly. Couple of things. We will, I'll just say this. We have some things that will be transpiring in the future, hopefully not the near future. We have some things that I think will be of benefit to us as a church. And so as those things begin to unfold, we'll make you aware of them. But remember, I just looked at it. It's the way it is. My brain is beginning to be coated with Teflon. Nothing sticks. May the 3rd, Friday, is our men's prayer breakfast. And we will be having, we're changing the location from the Red Dome in Quitman to Lake Country Bible Church in our fellowship hall. Miss Pat has agreed to cook our breakfast to the way that you like it. And so we'll be meeting here, and hopefully that will give us an opportunity to reach more in our church and further into the community with our prayer breakfast. So come, and there will be plenty to eat, I'm sure. Got a list. 8 o'clock. I know you don't get out of bed till 12, but be 8 o'clock. Well, you've probably got a point there. But I got a list from Miss Pat. And so you can send me a text if you would, and I'll forward it on to Miss Pat. But she will fix eggs any way you like them. Bacon, hash browns. Now, women, y'all aren't invited to this. Hash browns, biscuits. are toast, gravy, and jelly. And I told her that that's going to cause a lot of problems, be a need for marital counseling, I'm sure, with those kinds of breakfast being served. Good to see Miss Beverly with us this morning. But anyway, the thing that we need to remember is coming up, summertime is coming up. We will be having Vacation Bible School in July because of conflicting dates in June, so we'll be having that in July. We are planning on those that would like to go to Camp Grace, or excuse me, Junior Camp, to let me know so we'll know how to plan for that. And those that would like to go to Camp Grace, you let me know, and we'll try to put something together to get you characters over to Camp Grace. So those are some things we have coming up. Lots of needs here as far as the need for prayer and encouragement to everyone that is involved in the things of the church. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful, Father, that we're your children and you're our heavenly Father, that you've made it possible that we might have eternal life by grace through faith. And Father, we just thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit who leads and guides and teaches. And Father, yes, corrects at times. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. Be with us in our study this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are looking into the book of Colossians. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, and he had some things on his mind. We here at Lake Country Bible Church have tried to do everything we can to avoid people who would have the mission of breaking into our church and carrying off some of the things that we do worship service with. Robbers, if you would. I want to talk to you this morning about robbers in disguise. I've not met a robber, and I hope that I never do, that is not, they're out in the open with exactly what they're planning on doing. But here in Colossians chapter 2, we're going to look at the dangers of these ones who travel in disguise, these robbers of the church. I've read many stories and accounts of churches that have been robbed and of offerings and of equipment and of various things. And we need to be aware of how these individuals work. But I'm not talking about the theft of funds or the theft of things, but items that are more important than that to the believer. Danger is present to every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We are not exempt from these types of robbers that would come in and rob us of these things that we'll be looking at this morning. We don't need to look for the obvious because robbers don't normally come obviously into our eyesight and tell us with signs on the front and on the back of the robber himself that he is a robber and that he's going to rob. They don't look for obvious in their intent. They do not look for the typical ways of coming in and picking up, say, a piece of equipment and walking out with it. These robbers are not dressed for the part they play. These robbers are dressed in disguise that they might come in and rob us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. They're there to rob us. There might even be some of these robbers that are with us this morning. I pray not, but it could be that some of these robbers are here with us this morning. We as believers, believe it or not, we have valuables. We are valuable to our Heavenly Father. We are valuable to His service here on this earth. We might have some, even this morning, with us who maybe even don't realize that they are robbers, and yet in certain ways they are, and we want to look at those this morning. They might not even know what they're doing to us. They may not even have expected this to be the case in their lives. In fact, You're looking at one who could be a robber as far as your walk with the Lord. I may be looking at those that would be robbers in my walk with the Lord this morning. What are these robbers like? Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, we read that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and that all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Christ. We find here these riches that you and I have, these riches that we possess, these riches that are there for the robber to steal away with unless we're careful. We, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are in danger of being robbed this morning. We're in danger of being robbed of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for those around us who know Christ as their personal Savior. These robbers can be very devious in their activities to rob us of different things. Our love, our riches, our riches. What riches? The riches that we have resulting from the full assurance of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The full assurance of our understanding of what God's will is for us today. We could be the victims of these robbers in disguise. These robbers in disguise usually attack. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, we read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." These robbers, who might not mean to be a robber, and yet they are robbers. I may not mean to be a robber, and yet I could be a robber. We find here that Paul is encouraging those at Colossae that they should be careful to maintain, if you would, their walk. Colossians 2:6, Jesus Christ the Lord. So walk ye in him. Anybody that would discourage us in our walk with the Lord, the intent that we have to serve the Lord in faithfulness, is a robber. I may be that robber this morning. I pray not. When do these robbers attack? These robbers usually attack when we feel alone. These robbers usually attack when we're dissatisfied. These robbers usually attack when we're faltering in our Christian life, in our Bible reading, in our study, in our fellowship with other believers. These robbers might attack when we lack assurance in the things of life that are so hard that we experience. None of us this morning who know Christ as our personal Savior are immune to these attacks that come our way in our walk with the Lord. We may also be robbed when we are tired emotionally, when we're tired physically, when we hurt physically. We may be robbed of our walk or in our walk with the Lord. How do we, as believers, what kind of precautions can we take? Well, we find in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as we read earlier, "As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." What kind of believers are usually targets of those robbers in disguise? Well, those are believers who are worldly. They have a conflict between what they know they should do, and yet they don't do it. Those believers who are legalistic, they believe that a set of rules is the only way to live the Christian life. They are prone to being robbed, believers who are puffed up. "I don't have anything to worry about as far as my walk with the Lord is concerned," they might think. Believers who are proud. "I'm proud of my heritage within the church. I'm proud of what my kinfolks have done in the church." These are all ones that might be prone to being robbed. Believers who are religious. They have the look, They have the walk, they have the talk, and yet their lives are not in full accordance with what God would have them do and to be. Believers who are lacking in faith are type is a type of believer who is open to being robbed by these robbers in disguise. What kinds of methods do these robbers use to rob those who know Christ as their personal Savior? We find in verse 18 of Colossians chapter 2, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Let me repeat. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Somebody who thinks that there are things within the Word of God that they can explore and they can explain, and it's something that's nobody has ever heard of before, and they are vainly puffed up as they attempt to come in and reveal those hidden truths, so they think, to those in their church, those in their life. What is the goal of these robbers in disguise? Well, we find that the goal of these robbers in disguise is to rob the believer of his simplicity in Christ. Surely that can't be all you have to do. I have trusted Christ as my personal Savior, these types of believers might say. I have been baptized, they might say. These believers that are in danger of being robbed, I have been voted into the leadership of the church, they might say. The robber who comes to deceive and to steal those precious things that the believer possesses, they are dangerous. They are cunning. They are everywhere. They might even be in our church this morning. The robber come to rob the believer of his payment for sin. My sins have been paid for. Paid for completely, removed as far as the east is from the west. Mike, you surely don't believe that. Yes, I do believe that. But these robbers might attempt to rob us of our assurance that our sins have been paid for. These robbers might attempt to rob us of his sufficiency, God's sufficiency to handle every situation in life that comes our way, to rob us of his power, to rob us of his reward. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior can be, if you would, sidetracked in our walk, in our life, in our love to others, in our service to the Lord, thereby robbing us of the reward that we would have otherwise at the judgment seat of Christ. As we're thinking about these things, how do we look for these robbers in disguise? What do they look like? Colossians 2:18 we just read earlier tells us, verse 18 tells us that they are self-righteous, that they are pseudo-intellectual, that they are super spiritualistic. They're puffed up. They're lacking of faith. They look like experts in the Word of God. They are deceiving, and therefore they're able to rob us of the things that we have valuable in our walk with the Lord. What are the weapons of these robbers in disguise? Well, they come using enticing words. They come with philosophy that's contrary to the foundational truths in the Word of God. They appear to be sophisticated. They use trickery in their assault upon our valuables. They are crafty in their attack. They possess vanity. They lead away the spoils from battle. In other words, they are very devious in their attack. Maybe not even knowing, but because they're not in tune with the leadership of the Holy Spirit on a daily moment-by-moment visit, they are extremely dangerous. What are the robber's methods? They use false humility. They elevate things or beings, angels, to a position of importance equal to God. They give to angels the honor that belongs only to God. They declare as truth things that are not supported by clear scripture. They allude to their superiority in scriptural understanding. Well, this is crazy. How do we as believers ever attempt to protect ourselves against these attacks that these robbers in disguise? What are our defenses? Well, number one, we realize who we are in Christ. We are God's child. We are in His family. We are secure, never to be cast out, never be to be set aside. God is always at work in our lives. We need to realize that we have power over sin. There is no reason for us to fall victim to the trickery of Satan, who is the master craftsman in robbery. Realize that we have the indwelling power of God, the Holy Spirit, the very God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us. Realize that we need to, or we have been forgiven of all our trespasses and sins. Realize that we are robbed and built up, or we are rooted and built up in Him. Realize that we have been established in the faith, and we have His Word to fall back on for leadership and direction in our walk with Him. Robbers in disguise could be one of us. Maybe we have lost track of where we stand in the community of the saved ones in Jesus Christ. We need to realize all that we have been taught. We need to abound with thanksgiving. These are all things that we could do to help thwart these robbers in disguise. Could be us. We could be the robber in disguise. We need to sometimes periodically take stock of our walk with the Lord. Is it all that it should be? Is it all that it could be? Is it all that God would have it to be? If not, we need to take measures to make sure that we're not one of those robbers in disguise. Paul wrote to a young man, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In Timothy, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that was riddled with problems and sins. And he wrote, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7. Paul wrote to another church who had their share of problems. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and following. Paul wrote, and he says to this church at Ephesus, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Robbers in disguise. Would you be able to look at me, or I be able to look at you and determine that we are robbers of some of these things that thwart the progress of the Lord, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others? Not so. Many times these robbers, including myself, can really be a deterrent to our walk with the Lord and our success in our Christian life. Saved by grace, once saved, always saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit, convicted by the Holy Spirit. We can have all of these things and still sometimes be a robber in disguise. I pray for each one of you and myself also that we might not be found to be a robber. The things that are valuable to those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today. We thank you so much for grace. We thank you, Father, for your word, that you have preserved it down through the years and the ages, that we can look into it and find truths, not only truths concerning salvation, but truths concerning our position and our walk with you. And Father, we ask that you'd bless this church. We pray, Father, that you would bless the things that are in the planning stages. We pray, Father, that we've brought these things before you. Father, these are the things that we are led to do and attempt for you. And Father, we ask your blessings upon them. And Father, we realize there's some in our church family and family of some of our church family that need your healing and your strengthening. And Father, we do. We come to you now and we pray for these ones. Father, we ask that you administer to them as only you can. Father, we ask you to bless them as they heal from these physical situations. Father, as they look to you for completion of all that you have for them to do in this life. And Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.